come with me to Western Sydney, where I've been invited to an iftar.
My name is Mishgan Barrat and I'm an educational leader at Amity College. My parents migrated. They chose Australia as their home and we grew up in Australia and I became a teacher. I have finished my PhD in educational leadership and I met my husband here in Australia. We have one son, 27, and that's me.
What Mushgan didn't say is that she's also an exceptional cook.
You're at the MasterChef's house, I could guarantee you that. She's phenomenal, really.
And she and her husband, Namuk, have opened their home to a group of strangers, including me, so that we can join them as they break their fast. I'm here with a family, Nick and Christine and their two kids, and Burak from Affinity, the foundation that organises these kinds of dinners to foster interfaith and intercultural relationships. And wow, it's a good thing I arrived hungry.
It's an incredible table.
I know, yeah.
Please make yourself comfortable. Where you feel comfortable, sit, please.
Thank you.
One of Mushgan's colleagues from the school, Suba, is here as well. And Suba's husband, Ahmed, and their three-year-old son. Ahmed works for ISRA, the Islamic Sciences and Research Academy connected with Charles Sturt University. And so, all together, it's quite a party.
My suggestion, go for it.
Because you need to be strategic.
What should I eat?
It's good advice, because the table is laden, with some dishes that I find familiar, as well as some Turkish specialties. And it makes me wonder what it's like to prepare such a feast, especially because in the daytime, from sunrise to sunset, Mushgan and Namuk are fasting.
I hope the salt and everything is okay.
Yeah, it's perfect though.
Dinners usually for Ramadan, if it's your own family, it doesn't have to be so big, but when visitors come, yes, I need to start preparing from the day before. So the sweets and the cold dishes are usually done the night before, and then the other dishes, the hot dishes, salads, have to be done on the day. Yesterday I came home about 8 o'clock and I started straight away.
She hasn't slept?
I have slept. I have slept a couple of hours, yes.
So you were cooking all day while you were fasting.
Yes.
What's that experience like?
The only downfall is that you can't taste the food because you're cooking for others. You get a bit hesitant about whether the salt is enough or, you know, that sort of thing. But because measurements, you know your pots and pans usually, so that helps. If I was in a different kitchen, it might be a headache, but hopefully all the dishes were all right and the taste was okay. It does make you feel a bit tired because you run out of energy, but it's okay. Ramadan is a time when you need to make sure that you reserve yourself from luxuries of life. So when you can't taste, you know that it's Ramadan. So
to cater all these meals, do you have to prepare for Ramadan by shopping ahead of time?
We know that Ramadan comes when there's Woolworths starts selling boxes of dates. Even Woolworths are on the, you know, the spirit of Ramadan. We stock up on a lot of things like lentils. Then we have our sweets. We have to make sure that we have the ingredients to make the sweets. Baklava, for instance, or kadayif, for instance. You need to make sure that you have the right ingredients. Even stock up on rice because there's a lot of rice being used in some of the dishes. So, yes, you do stock up. It depends on the season as well too. If it was summer, we'd have different type of food. But if it's winter, we have the lentils, the beans, those sort of dishes.
I just found a recent recipe for the custard.
We're sitting in the lounge room now, sharing dessert and feeling full.
I hope you like it.
The children are playing with their toys and you might hear them in the background. Reflecting on the day and on the meal we've enjoyed, I want to hear more about the experience of Ramadan. So I asked Suba, Ahmed and Burak how they prepare themselves spiritually for the holy month and about its importance in their religious lives.
You're asking tough questions now.
Yeah, it's getting tough. I may just start with the personal level. Seeing the dates at the shops makes you realise that it's coming up. But I try to have personal targets for each Ramadan. It's the month of spirituality, it's a month of community, it's a month of obviously fasting, where we aim to elevate our spirituality here. With my prayers, I try to be careful. Quran reading, I try to read a bit more. It's recommended to finish it all, but obviously it depends on your busy schedule. Also, I try to attend iftar dinners and host people to feel it. It's looks like it's not spiritual, but you feel compassion in you. It helps your spirituality to be more motivated to do more prayers and be connected with God.
I guess Ramadan is really, really big. So there's really two other months leading up to Ramadan, and they're kind of considered holy as well. So that kind of allows you to prepare for the marathon that's coming. So those 2 months are very spiritual. There are various rewards hidden within those 2 months as well. So it's as if God is telling you there's a marathon that's coming up. Start training now. And those 2 months really help you with that. And there is a very strong emphasis in the sayings of Muhammad in the Quran about the month of Ramadan, the rewards that are within the month of Ramadan. Like, for example, there is a night in which is equal to 83 years of a human's life in terms of rewards. So if one spends that night in worship, in trying to connect with God, it's as if that person have tried for 83 years. So concepts like this really kind of allows us to look forward to Ramadan and start preparing for Ramadan. And the fact that we know God is really looking for an excuse to forgive our sins, to allow us to get closer to Him. And there is a very, very strong vibe. Like, for example, the imams in the mosques, they start talking about the month of Ramadan, let's say a week or 2 weeks beforehand. And those kind of things start allowing you to tune in. And as my wife said, Tuba, it's really about you setting your goals for the month, what you want to do, what you want to achieve. With that, I guess there's a bit of experience too that allows you to also feel the spirituality of the month and what is within that month. So, yeah.
Can I ask what goals you set for yourselves this year?
So I did a workshop this morning, to be honest, with year 7 to year 9 boys. And we made a list of goals that they have for the month of Ramadan, and I just wanted to see what they have really in mind. I realized that they had very good goals in mind. Some of them were being more patient towards annoying friends. That was a goal which I really liked. One said, "I'm going to finish the Quran," let's say, which is about 600 pages. One said, "I'm going to try to empathize with poor people a bit more." As for myself, we have the night prayers, which goes about an hour to 2 hours every night. You go to the mosque to pray. So I've kind of set myself a goal to attend that every night. Another thing is to wake up at night time. We have sahur, it's the pre-dawn meal, and we try to have that. I thought it's good while we wake up, we also pray, because it's a strong tradition within the life of Muhammad, peace be upon him, to pray at night time. So what I try to do is I've set myself a goal every night to, before or after I have the pre-dawn meal, I try to pray to God and connect with God. Those two are really the strong ones that I have. But apart from that, I know people like they, for example, they try to abstain from certain other things as well. It really changes from person to person.
I've been struggling with my sleep routine, and I've been encouraging Ahmed to help me with my sleep hours to be reduced, because with the family and the work, obviously it gets quite busy. I set the goal at the beginning in my mind that even though I struggle with the physical prayers, I would encourage myself to pray every night, and so far we've achieved. I'm aiming to finish it until the end of the month, and then set this same routine in my life so that it becomes the discipline of my life. As a mother, you don't have the luxury of having me time all the time. If you do not make it part of your nature, you struggle throughout your life, and Ramadan is a good time to set this goal. So that's my aim.
Ramadan is a month of spirituality, and I think it is a time of self-reflection and self-awareness as well. So it is a time to reflect on ourselves and try to, I guess, gain new habits within the month, because I guess 29 to 30 days is a good time frame to adopt new habits and also get rid of bad ones as well. That might even be things like spending too much time on social media or all sorts of things. I personally, made a decision to, I guess, we sometimes lose ourselves at during the iftar meal as well, because it's meant to be a month of spirituality. You are encouraged to spend your night in worship, but when you do eat too much during iftar, you sort of feel sleepy afterwards. So, I try to be careful with what I eat, and I've decided to participate in the Tarawih prayers every night. And also, I guess, it does sort of test your patience when you are hungry, and you might get frustrated a lot easier during the day. So it is a time for developing your self-discipline as well, and not losing yourself with all those emotions. Yeah, you sort of do train your conscience. So it is a good, I guess, a month for training, yourself as well.
On RN, this is Soul Search with me, Meredith Lake. Today, we're enjoying the hospitality of the Berube family at their home in Sydney's West. Iftar is the delicious dinner that marks the end of the daily fast. And whether you're listening in on air, online, or as a podcast, we're about to hear another guest, Ahmed, recite from the Quran to explain fasting and other spiritual practices during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم. Which kind of the verse translates to, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those before you. So, and when I was at university, we used to do this event called Fastathon. And what we'd do is we'd ask people to fast with us in different ways, in their own ways, sometimes from, let's say, social media, or sometimes from coffee, whatever it is, or sometimes from food and water like us. What I realized was it was really a common factor that brought people together as well, not just Muslims, but also people from different backgrounds and traditions as well.
How does Ramadan focus your attention on forgiveness?
Forgiveness is very important in Ramadan, especially towards your family, friends, your community, your relatives, anyone that you have disagreements with. You're supposed to, in the month of Ramadan, and especially in Eid time, make up with those people.
I think forgiveness is a major theme of Ramadan. Our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, does say that whoever... not an exact translation, but of a translation of meaning, I guess. Whoever observes the fast during Ramadan and expects the reward from Allah fully, like he fasts sincerely, all his past sins will be forgiven. So it is, a month where Muslims would, try to focus on that and try to have all their past sins forgiven and make the most of that opportunity as well. Yeah.
And I guess just the fact that people are encouraged to share their food with others, there's a saying which goes, the one who gives iftar or the dinner to the fasting person gets the same reward of the person who's fasting, without that person's fast the reward diminishing. So there's a very strong emphasis on social relations and people interacting and sharing, and that really allows the boundaries to be broken, and that forgiveness, that mercy to come forth as well. So even amongst the people too, it becomes a bit of a tradition to forgive each other and to have mercy towards one another. I guess another dimension of Ramadan is it is a month of generosity, because God becomes very generous in this month. So do Muslims as well. And people really give a lot. Like, there's usually fundraisers in this month, and people donate a lot of money. And one thing that you really come to understand is when you have access to food and water, but you don't eat and drink, you are self-disciplining yourself, but at the same time, you understand what it feels to be poor, what it feels not to have access to these things. So you come to empathize with poor people, and that allows you to become even more generous, to look after the people who are underprivileged in the society. You really start giving in this month.
Ahmed's point about generosity really resonated for me. Not limited to the poor, Muzgan and Namuk's generosity extended to strangers, like me, and to the other guests, Nick and Christine.
It is an opportunity for us to share this month with others as well. We have about 40 home iftar dinners, like the one we are at now, where our host families open up their homes, and it, I guess, allows for a more sincere discussion in a warm and cozy environment, where you don't always get at a major event. And the people that we do invite to these iftars are generally non-Muslims, you know, who are interested in coming and attending. And it is something we encourage. And it's, I guess, we just share what we know, and we share, you know, information about each other. And we, I guess, we just learn from each other. It's not just a one-sided experience. You know, it's an experience for all. Yeah.
Why did you decide to come to an affinity dinner tonight?
So I think probably I felt really ignorant about Islam particularly, but also Ramadan. And so you might have friends, they might say, oh, you know, it's a bit hard or this or what have you, but actually having a conversation like this, you don't really get into, or you don't want to sound stupid or offensive, so you don't go into that space. And so then having this invitation, I was like, oh, okay, so it's almost a safe space to understand it better. Tonight I felt like almost like jealousy at, like, obviously the fasting would be not the most enjoyable experience, but like the community that you have in this experience, and like the almost drive to be generous. I don't know, it feels very warm that I don't feel we really had something like this, like a whole month of inviting people into our space with Catholicism.
What happens now? What does the rest of the evening look like? It's not all cleaning, is it? I hope it isn't. We can help.
No. Some of the evening is cleaning, but then after the cleaning, I need to do my prayers before going to bed, and doing the Teravih prayer, not in a communal way, but at home tonight. And then after my prayers, I would probably try and read a bit of Quran as well too, because I didn't have time to read during the day today. So that would be my evening, and then I would relax a little bit and have a conversation with my husband, who helped me out a lot today. Thank you very much.
When you attach meaning to what you do, I guess it doesn't become a burden on you. I gave a talk about Ramadan before the month started at Emirate College to pretty much about 400 boys and then 400 girls. My key message was, it's how you perceive things. Do you see it as a burden or an opportunity? And really, fasting and Ramadan becomes like that. When you see it as a burden, I have to fast 12 hours a day, it's going to be really hard, I'm not going to eat and drink. You need to really apply yourself psychologically and prepare yourself psychologically as well. When you do that, you have a paradigm shift. And really, you start enjoying what you do. Like, fasting to me is at the moment somewhat enjoyable, because I see it as a practice, as a worship, as a way to connect to God. Same thing, like when you're preparing for visitors, guests, even when you're cleaning, it could be 11 p.m. at night, you're vacuuming at 12 a.m. at night. But because there's a meaning attached to the practice that you do, it doesn't become a burden anymore. So it really helps you psychologically deal with these things. And it gives you an enormous mental strength. So I'm sure as Muzgan Hoca was preparing the food today, I'm not sure if you felt it, but really it's more like, okay, I'm going to feed, you know, people, I'm going to have rewards for this. So it becomes a bit of a good experience at the end. Yeah.
It's very rewarding, actually.
Yeah.
Because you know that there's a purpose behind it, and you want to host people is an important aspect of Ramadan as well. Hosting and opening your doors to people that you haven't met is an enormous experience for all of us, especially my husband and I. You know, we like to have people over from Affinity, thanks to Affinity. And any chance to talk about and share our religion with others is a plus for us.
Mujgan Berber, by day an educational leader at Amity College in Western Sydney, and by night a brilliant host who welcomed me to her home for iftar